as interactive as possible. I'm Walton Smith, principal with Booz Allen Hamilton. We've got David Berry here. He's the man behind the machine, making sure that the demos will work. We've got two laptops, one VPN, one Direct Connect, Ouija boards, everything possible to try to make sure things go through. And we've got a ton of screenshots in case the presentation gremlins grab us. What I want to do today is go through a little bit of the history of collaboration at Booz Allen, and then get into where we see the next couple years of collaboration for us, and more importantly, how that might help you not go down some of the same rat holes and things that we've done over the process. So hopefully you'll enjoy the presentation, and we'll get going. So why is collaboration important to a company like Booz Allen? We're a 98-year-old consulting firm based in McLean, Virginia, about 26,000 employees, and we do everything. My joke is, if our client asks us, can you do this? As a good consultant, you should say, of course we do that, and then turn around and go try to find out who in the firm does that to be able to answer that question. We know that with the organizations that you're representing, your people, in most cases, are your most valuable asset. How do you find the right person or the right information at the right time is critical for our success. So drivers for collaboration at work for us. As I said, we've got 26,000 employees. Last year, we hired over 5,000 people. We've got 71%, and Gloria and some folks who've worked for Booz Allen in the past, not too long ago, we were at less than 50%. And if you're sitting at your desk with a fat pipe to the internet and you're in McLean where we have five buildings, by all means, you should be able to collaborate or find the right information. But with 71% of our workforce on the client side, a majority of the time, they need access back to the organization. Most of those people are on client side after the orientation. Come in, drink the Kool-Aid, get your badge, figure out how to do your time and attendance, find out where the bathrooms are, and then we send you off to your client site. We're spread out all over the world. I was in Honolulu on Monday for one of our Veterans Day activities. We've got people around the world in the different time zones and stuff. How do we get that information to the relevant information quickly? And let's face it, 99% of the organizations out there, Outlook is a de facto collaboration tool. It's great if you've been in the organization for 5 to 15 years. You've got every PowerPoint you need in your Outlook folder. You might not remember where you stored it, but search and Outlook is getting a little bit better, and you can find it. But if you're one of those 5,000 people who just joined the firm, you don't have any clue where to go and who to find that information from. So what we really want to do is break down those barriers, and make it for those 5,000 people to be able to have access to that information as quickly as possible. Getting started, we've tried a lot of stuff. We started with Knowledge Online. Then we went to WebWorks, then we went to LiveLink, and then our ultimate wisdom, we rolled out SharePoint 03 about 3 months before Microsoft rolled out SharePoint 07. Then we didn't learn our lessons and rolled out SharePoint 07 about 3 months before they rolled out 2010. We built some collaboration functionality that I'll go over as a standalone collaboration site, and then decided to integrate that with our 2007 platform, and then what we're planning on doing is skipping 2010 and going straight to 2013 and integrating with Yammer and several other best-of-breed tools. So SharePoint 03, it was great for aggregating a lot of content. Like most of you, we had file servers, we had information hidden everywhere. I called it safety by distribution. It was on your laptop, it was on your file folders, things of that nature. So we stood up 2003, we really focused on consolidating information. We focused on projects and the organization of the firm at the time. I don't know about you guys, but we change our org structure every 6 months, so trying to pick what structure to pick could be difficult. It was a one-stop shop where you could get information. It was authoritative in most cases. We did start to put in metadata and taxonomies. It was access controlled. And when I say access controlled, it was locked down. So we had multiple silos of information because the default is closed. If you take anything from this presentation, you should focus on trying to be as open as possible. Trust your people to do the right thing with your information. They can't find it, they can't be helpful. We had accessible versus discoverable to be able to find out that there was something there, to be able to find it. But it didn't really work. I feel like that little hockey player every once in a while. In many cases. That's about how I felt after getting off the red eye yesterday coming in. Search didn't work. If people take the time to put content in your system, and then they go look for it, and your index crawl takes 7 days, it's not really helpful. Because they're not going to see it, they're going to store it again, so you're going to pull stuff up. Outlook was still way easier. People sent the, hey, does anybody know what we're doing at, say, Paycom? Well, if you've got 500 other emails, because you're being polite and not checking your emails while you're in here, and you get out and you see that someone sent an email saying, do you know? And there's 300 other people on that email, you're probably going to hit delete. So we really wanted to work so people could find out who to reach out to. It didn't provide for open collaboration. It was kind of funny. We'd sit down with people and say, I want to collaborate. And these are the three people I want to collaborate with. I'm like, well, you're already doing that. How are you improving the organization? How are you sharing that information? So multiple silos grew of information. Focused on the systems and the org chart, not the people. My daytime job is providing collaboration support for our clients. And in most cases, we get there, and they've rolled out any kind of platform. And it's been, we've rolled out PeopleSoft to support HR. We've rolled out time and accounting. We've rolled out these different systems that are supporting a specific function. But none of them focused on the people, so there was no adoption. Yes, I can make people submit their timesheets because they like to get paid. But you can't really make people collaborate. Well, they're already collaborating, but you can't make them use your systems if they're not intuitive and they're not easy. And too many one-stop shops, because other people would say, I'm the authoritative person on this, and they would stand up their stuff. So what we did is, as we were sitting down, and we brought in IBM and their connection suite, and we brought in Microsoft as they were rolling out 2007, and said, we really want to focus on our people. All the tools that were out there had profiles, or my sites, or whatever you want to call them, but they were all specific for their tool. So what we did was take a step back and say, let's aggregate and use best-of-breed tools to be able to get blogs, wikis, bookmarks, SharePoint documents, workflows, and that nature, but aggregate it back into one profile so people could go and find the relevant information, and it would be linked back to them. And use the data that's in PeopleSoft and in your time and accountants and your certifications and things of that nature. So literally, I was sitting there with Microsoft, and they were talking about what they might be able to do, and I flipped over their presentation, and kind of, it's not a napkin, but it looks prettier on a slide, and flipped over their deck and started to write up, okay, if we build the profile, I can pull this information from this system, I can pull this information from that system, and start to get the feeds to be able to show what's going on. So when people log in, there's relevant information for them to be able to move forward. So how'd that work? We were honored to be nominated back in 2009. Sun, Cisco, and Intel, and Booz Allen were the finalists for the Open Innovation Award. Just being nominated with those three firms was pretty cool, because my budget is budget dust compared to them. But we won because we're really focused on adoption. We've got over 85% of the firm has added content, and we're averaging a little less, or in the mid-70s, for folks adding content on a weekly basis. So we've got a huge participation coming through. We focused on enterprise-wide aggregation. We focused on the users, not on the systems. We focused at first really on the tacit knowledge. SharePoint has always done a good job of on the explicit side. The three of us want to build a PowerPoint deck for this presentation, use SharePoint, can be able to work through. But that tacit knowledge that drives an organization was critical for us. As I mentioned earlier, when we rolled out 2003, it was locked down. With Hello, we went to the complete opposite side and was open. And so everything was available. You can't see it here, but we had little locks on the top of the page to tell people what the status of the site was to be able to pull through. The key thing is it was full attribution. I was given a demo to the FBI, and I pulled up the profile page, which is on the far right side. And then I randomly picked on a profile, and it pulled up their hobbies. And the hobbies the guy had were fly swatting and skinny dipping. I wanted to die. I'd just gotten budget for the system, and I randomly picked a profile. We've got all these SESers in the government, or the pretty important folks, And I look up, and they're about to wet their pants because they love to see consultants squirm. And I look at my group of partners and the guys who are paying for this. And so after I pick myself up, I pointed out that this is Enterprise 2.0. I can't prevent you from being stupid, but I can show everybody how stupid you are. Because search works and we'll find it. And because it's within an enterprise and folks are saying, we don't need a Facebook. Well, Facebook is different. This is inside the enterprise. You set the social norms. It's no different from leaving a voicemail or an email or putting out a company document. I joke, don't put anything on here you wouldn't want your mom or your boss to read. And if you live by those rules, you'll be fine. And the great thing is, the fly swatting and skinny dipping is the worst incident we've had. I picked up the phone and called the individual. He was in Indianapolis, but I won't go any more detail. And I said, yeah, I'm calling about the skinny dipping. And he's like, excuse me, do you know who you're talking to? And I'm like, yeah, this is Walton with Hello. He's like, oh my God, people actually look at that? Didn't make me feel very good, but he changed it quickly. We really focused on allowing people to tag and link. So setting up the profiles was critical. And then the next step, which we'll show you if the demo gremlins don't grab us, was setting up communities. In the left-hand side, you can see a snapshot of the SharePoint community. Any piece of document, any piece of content, whether it be a person, a blog, a wiki, or SharePoint site, can be linked back to the communities. And you ask, what's a community? It's any two people that get together that want to share information around something. So I show the SharePoint community. So if you find a blog or a document or a person, you can link it back to the SharePoint community practice. So while I'd love everybody to go out and read every tweet, every blog, every message that's out there, we've got real jobs. But we focus on aggregating the content back into the communities. So you subscribe to a handful of communities and have them be the authoritative source for being able to pull the information through. That's when we really took off and the adoption went through the roof. Adoption is key. Change management is key. Most of the clients that we work with set aside enough money to buy a tool. And don't get me wrong, tools are important. But it's all about driving adoption and understanding how you can get people to use the system. I kind of think about breaking up firms in three different groups. You've got senior management. They might not know what Yammer is or a SharePoint is or a blog, but they know that their people are their most valuable assets, and they need to do a better job of connecting them. You've got the folks that are coming in, and not in a bad way, call them the Facebook generation, where they expect access to information immediately. They've got more power on their smartphones than they do on their laptops that we give them in many cases, and they want immediate access to information, and they expect it. But what you really need to focus on is the middle tier, the folks that have been in your organization for 5 to 15 years. They've got the intellectual capital, they've got the knowledge that makes your firm successful. You've got to give them tools that are intuitive enough for them to move their content onto a platform that's searchable and scalable. If you can do that, you'll be successful, because then people come out. Our rollout was the first 6 months, we didn't even talk about it. It was kind of just word of mouth, and people found out about it, would log on, because the last thing you want to do, and I said in the session yesterday, if you see me passing out candy bars in the atrium, I haven't built a collaboration system that's useful. Because if I make people do it or I bribe people to go to it, it's not a useful tool. I want people to go there, find relevant information, because we know the first couple times they're going to go search. If they find information that's relevant for them, they'll come back. And if they keep coming back, they'll start to add content. The last story on this, and I'll move forward, I sat down with a senior executive in our firm, and she said, Walton, I don't know about these toys, but my boss said I need to talk to you. So, well, thank you, ma'am, for giving me a heads up. I go, why do you call them toys? I don't have time for this. I got work to do. So, okay, ma'am, what market do you serve? Because in Booz, we're all split up by what markets. And she told me the market, and it's like this big. And I took a deep breath, and I searched for it. And about 63 pieces of data came up in the middle, and I'll show you the search results in a minute. But it had documents, and she went through, said, yeah, I wrote that, I didn't know about this, and went through, and the search were there. But what we do on our search panels is bring back the most relevant people. Because to me, it's all about your people, and how do you find the right people? So when she looked at the top 5 people in her quote-unquote market, and she wasn't on the top, she was like, Walton, I run this market. How come I'm not on top? I go, well, ma'am, how much content have you added back to the community? She's like, I've never turned this thing on. I said, well, with all due respect, it's showing who's the most active contributor and the go-to person for this information. And you could see it click. And she goes, Walton, you need to teach me how to use these tools. So we went from toys to tools in a matter of 5 minutes because we were able to show them relevant information. Don't try to teach them everything about your collaboration. SharePoint, even by itself, is way too powerful for most executives to grab everything. But break it down to what are their business drivers and how can you help them be successful. I never talk about the tools that we use. I talk about how we can be more successful by sharing information. If they're smart enough, they can look at the URLs and look at the code behind it and see where it's coming from. But that's kind of what breaks and sets apart folks. So we plugged any vendors out there. We bought Fast about 2 weeks before Microsoft bought them. We partnered with Yammer right before they get bought. So if you have good tools that you want to give me at a really good price, it's a small sample size, but I'm batting 100% so far. we decided to bring in Fast is our search for all seriousness to pull the stuff together because we had such disparate sets of data and we wanted to be able to pull it together to find the relevant information. And what made me happy is other parts of the firm came to us and said, hey, resource management, staffing people is critical. So rather than building a totally separate tool that kept profiles of the people who weren't working, we said, let's flip it around. And how do we continue to enhance the profiles we have on everybody? Because if someone needs a TS-cleared, Farsi-speaking SharePoint developer, there's probably like five of them in the world, let alone in our firm. And they're probably 100% billable already. But if that's critical, we need to be able to search and find that person to be able to pull it through. So search is critical for being able to show the relevancy and being able to pull that content together. What we did, something that's pretty cool, if you think about LinkedIn, we built a module that allowed folks to connect to one another. At my level at the firm, I can set up an AD group for anything I want. But for most rank and file folks, we don't want them calling the help desk to say, I want an AD group to keep track of my bowling league or things along that line. So what we did was allow any employee to link with any other employee. And by linking to them, you could get their activity feeds of what's going on. And then also, when I go to their profile page, if I have a SharePoint question, you can go see all the people that I'm following. And say David Berry's there, and you can see by his link status he's available, you can pop him a note, say, hey, I've worked with Walton in the past, I have a SharePoint question, could you be helpful? So we rolled this out, and within the first 7 days, we had 10,000 connections made. And so now think about the rich data set I have to be able to search against, to be able to find that SharePoint expert. And you all know if you just send out an email to all your employees and said, hey, tell me all the people you work with, and give me the attributes of why you work with them. You'd have got about maybe 1% response on that because it didn't do anything for them. But by flipping it around and allowing them to have some functionality, we're able to get a very rich and ongoing data set of who we have. Because we try in resource management to get people to tag themselves and give their attributes and figure out what projects they're working on to be able to pull through. But I'd much rather find someone who 300 people are following than one person. I mean, I can put anything on my resume. Doesn't necessarily make it true. What happened? Search still didn't necessarily work. Fast got bought. It took a little while to get the code switched over. We had an extremely customized platform that wasn't always the best. It didn't provide for full and open all the time collaboration. It was focused still on the focus on the groups. The biggest thing was IT security. Being able to get to the system was critical for us. And that's the biggest problem we had. You can see we've got two computers up here to make sure we can get to our network. Our friends at Anonymous decided to pick on us a little bit and don't want to get into any kind of conversation on what they did or didn't do. But obviously, in this environment, your IT shops are very conservative on being able to pull stuff together. But the problem is we had more and more of our folks going to client site, using their computers, and security getting harder and harder to get through. So it's not a good story to tell if you're one of those folks sitting on client site and being able to get access to information. So what I say to you is when you're sitting down trying to figure out what you're going to do, you have to focus on your lowest common denominator. Who is the person that's sitting on the worst set of, I'll boot it back in a second. Who's sitting at the client site that gives you the worst possible options to get together? In our case, it's, I mean, if you're in a SCIF and you can't get to the internet, there's not much I can do because you're not even allowed to bring your phones in. But what we really want to focus on is if you can get to the internet, you can have full functionality to get the right information at the right time. Outlook is still easier because of the functionality to be able to get it on the phones and things of that nature. So we want to take a step back and look at what we want to do. So enter Yammer. So you can see back in 2008, we started our community. It's continued to grow. What's kind of interesting is the most active of all time was our SharePoint community. And then you can show some of the connections. Why was Yammer important to us? Well, as I mentioned, 71% of our folks are on client site. And the being able to get in and get access to information was crucial to them. And what they found, and the post and the usage, that's without any official rollout. We've got almost 10,000 people on our community without even rolling it out. So go back to when we rolled out Hello, our original platform, it's the same thing. We wanted to make sure it grew organically, so the content was there. And I'll make these slides available so you can see through, but you can see that there's bubbles all over the place of consultants obviously being pulled through. But what makes me happy is in the middle are vice presidents. We've got senior folks that are participating on here, and it's not even, quote unquote, a firm sponsored platform at this time. It was the free version to be able to pull through. But it served as a good onboarding ramp for us to be able to get up. We've got 431 different working groups that are sharing, and when we pulled the data pool, it was 188,000 messages, and 8,500 employees have crossed matrix. So as a leader in Booz Allen, to me, that's awesome, because irregardless of where the org chart is, these people are finding access to the information they need to be successful. And being able to pull that together on a real-time basis is critical for our growth. We've seen most of our stuff and most of the success around communities of practice. The one I'm highlighting here is the SharePoint community practice that David and a couple folks lead up. And being able to have that out there when we sell a consultant to you or one of our clients, you're not just getting the one person that we send. They have the reach back of the 800 or so people in the SharePoint community to be able to ask the question. In this case, you had one on one side. We have BossBug, Booz Allen SharePoint User Groups, where we do video presentations every 2 to 3 weeks, record them. So David was posting that one was going on now. To Laura, who has no idea what SharePoint is, but her client was asking more about it, being able to reach out to the community. So it's for both the developers and non-developers to be able to find that information and be able to reach out to the communities. And communities are we want that affinity to the firm is crucial for us. It cost us something on the lines of $20,000 to replace employees. And the number one reason people leave in most cases is the lack of affinity. They're on client side a majority of the time. They feel more aligned to their customer than they do to the firm because that's where they're going. Those are the office parties they're going to. That's who they're having lunch with. We have to have ways to connect our folks back to, quote unquote, the mothership in order to be successful. Through disasters, you'd think McLean would be pretty safe, but in the last year or so, we've had an earthquake and a superstorm. And the earthquake popped up, and Jay, one of my guys, popped up and had no clue what was going on and was able to come through. But the Superstorm Sandy was obviously really impactful. We've got 14,000 people in the DC, New York area. So we tell people to stay home, stay safe, but keep working because we have to keep billing our clients. So folks dutifully logged on. Well, at about 7, I was not the best husband and dad in the world. I hopped on a plane to go out to the Yammer conference the Sunday before the storm hit, the last plane out of Dulles. So I'm freaking out as it is, but I log on to check in on how their systems are going, and I can't get on. VPN is down. Webmail is not working, so I'm not even getting the push out to my phones because our infinite wisdom at the firm, they set the default is when you turn the computer on, the VPN connects because that makes it as secure as possible. Well, if you've got 14,000 people working at home, in many cases, they don't need access to the network, but because we decided to have the default as connect to the VPN, we had 14 or so thousand people by 8 o'clock Monday morning trying to log onto the system. Well, when you don't average that, you don't build your infrastructure to that, and VPNs, being as they are, they dutifully said, I'm on fire, I need more help, and so they reached out to the webmail servers, and so now people who were trying to log on to VPN couldn't get in. They switched over to webmail, and so now it's getting worse. They couldn't get to webmail, so they turned on more devices to be able to figure out what was going on, and it just gets worse and worse. And so I'm on the phone with corporate communications, like, we're going to send an email out to let people know what's going on. And I'm like, okay. But what was awesome was one of our tech guys who was there fanning the servers opened up hashtag tech issues to let people know what was going on. So even before the official quote-unquote corporate communication got out, the community knew what was going on. It said, look, if you don't have to get to the network, turn off your VPN. As soon as you guys turn off your VPN, the webmails will start coming back on, and we can get back to work and be able to pull through. So it was a great use case for us to be able to show. I think Microsoft liked it because our EA is up, and they want us to move to the cloud, and so they have a good use case for us to be able to pull through. But it was awesome to have a secure platform that was cloud-based, that was being able to that was scalable, to be able to meet the real-time needs of the organization. What we have out there, and no one really asked for it, but what was pretty cool is they put out hashtag YammerWorks, so people could share success stories about how they were able to do stuff. So the one case is someone looking for a class in L&D. And when I first started to build out our SharePoint platform and I told them that I wanted to pull education certifications and languages, they told me I was going to go to jail. I'm like, go to jail? They're like, that's HR data. You can't have access to that. Now they're building it into the training curriculum, and someone on L&D was following it, saw and answered the question. The next is having trouble getting in onto our VPN. What's really cool, and I don't have a slide on it, but we're buying a firm for the first time in probably 30 years, and the deal closes on December 1st, and they get their Booz Allen email accounts and things of that nature on December 1st, and it's about 1,000 employees. And the reason we haven't bought firms in the past is because it's really hard to merge people and get their corporate culture to work. But what was awesome is those same people that wanted to send out the emails on Super Sandy and things of that nature reached out to me and said, hey, we want this onboarding to go as smooth as possible. Can you help us set up a community for these 1,000 or so folks that are coming on board? Yes, they'll have the help desk to be able to pick up the phone and call and ask some questions, but we'd really like to have it so there's a community, so they don't feel comfortable asking. They can go read and see what's going on. And that was a huge step for us to be able to pre-plan something and have something out there to be able to do onboarding. So I think that speaks volumes of where we're going. So last couple slides, and then we'll go to the demo. We think about it. Not too long ago, we were a few thousand employees. You knew you'd been at the firm for a long time. You pretty much knew everybody, or at least with one or two degrees of separation, you knew everybody in the firm. They were co-located. We were a partnership. You worked with your team. And even though we were all Booz, there was other teams that was out there. You had your traditional communication. And our competitors were doing the same thing. Now, we're growing at such a fast pace. I've got 200 or so people that work for me. Yes, I know them, but do I really know them when I have 200 people? And do they know me when I'm on the road 20 days out of a month? And they're on client site the majority of the time when I'm in my office? 9,000 people use other devices than the nice Lenovos that we give out to get to their stuff. 12,000 of them get their email, so almost half of the firm get a majority of their mail on devices other than what we've given them. And our competitors are innovating and being able to pull through. And staff are finding ways to connect. if you think your folks, I love when I go in and talk to someone and said, yeah, I don't believe in collaboration and my people wouldn't need that. We're an old school firm. I'm like, you don't have a water cooler, you don't have email, you don't have other things. If you're not providing them tools, it doesn't mean they're not collaborating. They're just not collaborating effectively. And you're not being able to tap into the intellect that's being generated by those folks. And if you really think about it, as a consulting firm, knowing what my people care about and what they're thinking about is crucial for us, because the only way we win work is to drive innovation for our clients and help them move forward. So we need to be able to make sure we foster that. These are some quotes that we got when we went out and asked about collaboration and where were things going. And it's the first time that the firm, and most firms, will talk about things that things aren't necessarily working. So the staff were talking about that the current setup doesn't necessarily foster team environment. We've shifted away from having a home. We decided to have hoteling because someone decided that would save us a few bucks per employee. Well, if you sit next to a different person every day, it's kind of hard to build that esprit de corps, whereas even David can be difficult to work with, but if you sit with him every day, you'll finally break down and go to lunch with him and get to know that he's not all that bad. Well, most people. But it's really, how do we connect to our folks? And that's crucial in today's age. People at all levels want to feel like they're connected. And we found that the tools, as they stood, didn't allow us for that direct connection with our clients and with our folks. And the tools haven't necessarily evolved to keep up with the pace of what our folks want and expect. So what we're planning on doing and what we're rolling out, our goal is to have this up by April 1 of this coming year, is to be on 2013 integrated with Yammer. Our focus is to really have that one-stop shop for folks to be able to come in. You don't need to know the ethics and regulatory compliance document until you need it. And when you do, you need to be able to find it. Open enrollment, I think, just ended like today or tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And being able to get to it and find out what you need is important. So firm resources are critical, especially if you're on client side all the time. But you can't stand up a portal that's just firm resources, because it's going to be stagnant. It's going to die, and people aren't going to use it, and people aren't going to reference it. What we found is you have to integrate all these tools together. They don't necessarily have to be on the same tool, but for the users, they need to be seamless to be able to pull through. Excuse me. And folks are asking, why are we moving away from a custom-built application that we've customized and be able to pull through? Well, one, the industry is growing up a lot, so there's a lot more options that we can pull in. The APIs are better. They'll be able to pull through. And let's face it, the cool kids who built all the custom code to make Hello work, they don't want to do documentation. They don't want to do operation and maintenance. They don't want to keep doing the updates to the code. They want to keep pushing the envelope. And we found that it can be difficult. And then corporate, as we've become a publicly traded firm, the bottom line is a lot more important in a publicly traded firm than necessarily in most partnerships. And so the appetite for paying for custom-built things is not there as much. And so the leadership team is like, I need you to move this forward, but I need you to build it on something that other people are doing the updates. They want a throat to choke, for lack of a better word. And I'm glad that that's not me anymore to be able to pull through. Don't think you're off the hook yet. So what we're really trying to do is allow people to securely connect to Booz Allen anywhere and be in the know at any time. We're probably going to change the name from Hello to Connect. We've said Hello. Now we're connecting. It's going to be the focus will continue to be around the employee, to allow him or her to be able to link and aggregate the information that's most relevant to them, to be able to pull together the collaboration tools and to have that open platform. I'm not smart enough to know which one of you is going to build the next tool that we have to have, but I want to build it open so I can be able to plug it in and make it as seamless as possible to be able to pull through. And the key thing for us is to be accessible on any device. My goal is that even if you're in a SCIF, which is a secure location where you can't take a phone in, that the system is important enough that when you walk out and you turn your phone on, you can get to it and you can update, you can put your information in there, and you can decide how you get the information. not how corporate IT gets it. And so those are the focuses that we're really pushing on. SharePoint 13, we've been working with the product team for a while, really focusing on the community aspects and the ability to aggregate the information together, improved the activity feeds, being able to pull stuff through, the ability to relieve some of the custom code that we built to be able to pull through, to push stuff out, and then the app store, so I can go buy apps to plug in as opposed to have to build them, or at least have a common infrastructure that people can build the apps to, and as long as they meet those protocols, they can be pulled together. Yammer Enterprise is the bridge to get us there. We're using it now and plan to be able to pull it through. It gives us that cross-platform availability to be able to ask the simple questions or to find the right person or to be able to pull through. That embedded capability to meet the firm's data retention policies to be able to pull through and find what's going on strengthens our cross-organizational engagement and continues to build out the groups. I mean, it's all about our ability to pull people together on an as-needed basis. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, sir. We got one in the back, and then I'll come. Sure. The question was, do we have a bring-your-own-device policy? Yes, and I'll caveat. It was no until all the partners started to bring their own devices, and then corporate IT had to figure out how to make them work. The problem we're finding with that is then you want to roll out mobile device management. And they'll pay for my phone or my mobile device, but we don't like David that much, so we're not paying for him. And I'm sorry, but it's true.
Let's see how you do on the demo.
Exactly. We had 30% of our internal IT folks decline access to they said, okay, if you don't accept our mobile device management policy, you'll lose access to email. 30% of our internal team said, I don't need email that bad. Because you're not paying for it, you're not giving me any functionality, and even though you say you're not gonna do anything, if I read the terms and conditions, you can. So what we really focus on in working with our clients is you've got to look at it from the user's perspective. If I were to offer David access to our corporate Wi-Fi network so he could lower his data usage plan by accessing mobile device management, might give him more functionality. If I build an app that allows him to do his time attendance on his phone and not do the web dial-in where it's like putting in an 18-digit code and being able to pull through, you've really got to focus on how am I going to drive adoption. Because, yes, we want to secure our devices, and our lowest common denominator for security is that unsecured phone that David doesn't have a passcode on and he leaves at the eye candy bar tonight to be able to pull through. So we need the security, but we also need to be able to have the functionality. So, yes, we have bring your own device, but they have to meet corporate policies. What I'm excited about is the Windows 8 slates that are coming out, the ability to have CAC-enabled devices to be able to pull in. So I have the same user interface and the same functionality and Outlook and Office and all those things as I do on my desktop, and it meets all of our corporate policies from day one. So I think there's going to be some cool things that are coming down the path that will make it a little bit easier. Question up here?
Yeah, I haven't heard you mention the word intranet once. I haven't seen it in the slides. Is that on purpose, or is it because the platform that you're delivering is something different and hopefully better?
So the question was, he hasn't heard me mention the word intranet. Hello is our intranet. We merge together those things you have to have, like here are our office locations, here's our time and attendance policies, with the SharePoint team and project sites, with the blogs, with the communities, and all the different pieces. So people would go out on, say, a blog and say, what's our mobile device policy? People could then, in there, reference back to the appropriate documentation to say, here it is, and pull through. A good example of that was April 13th, about 2 years ago, back when people still had Blackberries. We, sorry if you're, We roll out a policy. The Research in Motion sent out a policy, a security update, that we dutifully pushed out. Well, back then, you had to be a partner or principal to have access to the corporate BlackBerry plan. Folks like David, who wanted to get emails because he knew that I would get mad at him if he didn't respond in a couple milliseconds, dutifully bought their BlackBerry and then mapped it back to the server. They didn't have the cool phones. They had the BlackBerry, but they could still get the emails. Well, we pushed out that security update, and it knocked out 8,000 people who had their BlackBerries mapped to it. They picked up the phone and called the help desk and said, hey, my BlackBerry doesn't work anymore. And they'd look it up. David Berry, you're a lead associate. You're not supposed to have a BlackBerry. Thanks for calling. Click. And so help desk calls went through the roof. From a ability to close at tier one was through the roof. So if you're sitting back, fat and happy, we're doing good. I got 8,000 people that are furious that they just bought a two-year contract on a phone that's of no use to them. They hopped on our intranet or our collaboration platform and said, what's going on? And to the credit of corporate IT, they were following those feeds and hopped on and said, hey, we pushed out a security patch today. We didn't mean to knock you off. Try this, try that. And so it went from, man, I hate IT, to there's actually someone in IT. His name is Mike, and he's actually trying to help me? What's going on here? And so the feed went on and back and forth, and we were able to fix it. And what I did was kill a tree, hit print, and took about the 500 or so threads to a couple of our senior partners and said it doesn't make sense for us to have our employees push their data to another server on Sprint or AT&T or whatnot. Let's allow them to get on the corporate plan. They still pay for their devices, but now their devices are integrated so we can get the email. So I built the intranet or whatever you want to call it, not thinking I would allow folks to have access to email. And granted, this was a couple years ago. But being able, the reason I bring it up is if you have a healthy ecosystem, you can get a pulse of your organization. You can know what's going on before it blows up and be able to solve it. Because, yes, if you went back and looked at the help desk calls, when you get them every 2 weeks and see what's going on, you might be able to go back. But the damage is done. You've got 8,000 people who are furious at you. Yes, sir. Couldn't hear you? The question was, how do we drive organic usage? The first 6 months, it was just word of mouth because I didn't want people to go there until there was content. And I call the Steve Raddix of the world, who's he's no longer with the firm, but he's a very active. You're going to have people in your organization who are going to be out there. They're going to be yamming. They're going to be blogging. They're going to be doing stuff. And they're going to start generating the content. So get that baseline. And then we focused on specific business cases to be able to go out and say, you're trying to do onboarding better. And as opposed to handing out this big binder that's out of date as soon as you print it and you update it once every 6 years or something, put it online. And so we knew we'd won when the onboarding team switched from giving out binders to teaching people how to build out their profiles and how to make connections on there. So really focusing on business needs, I never once got up and talked about we need this amount of, we need this, you must do this, or you have to do that. Other people said, well, did you give charge codes or did you allocate people time and money to do things? And we never had to do that because I joke, and I said this yesterday, so if you came to both, I apologize. I go, I would have said, you don't have a charge code to Google, but since we're here, I'll say you don't have a charge code to Bing to find information. If it makes your job easier, you'll use it. Professor McAfee coined the phrase Enterprise 2.0. If it's in your work stream, people will use it. If it's out of your work stream, you can make them use it every once in a while, but as soon as you stop, they're going to go back to what's useful for them. So really focusing on giving folks intuitive tools that integrate with what they're doing is the best way to get adoption. Yes, sir. Yeah. It's a combination. This is a screenshot of our landing page of what you would consider our traditional intranet, where the spotlight article is normal corporate communications, and it rotates through and has contents there. If you notice on the left, it's the getting started. So for those 5,000 folks that just joined, And then we have the latest blogs, the most active discussion, the profile spotlights to be able to pull through to bubble things up. We want to highlight the usage and be able to pull things through. The great thing is, most organizations, people want to share and they want to show off what they're doing. As long as people can find it and people can have its full attribution, so I can pull through. So I go back to what we talked about earlier. You don't want the "do you know" email. You want to say, "Hey, I searched and saw that you're an expert on multi-factor authentication. Can you help me here?" So really focusing on pulling stuff through, making it visible, and then aggregating it into, here's a screenshot of the communities of practice. So being able, the great thing about Bing or whatever, you go in and you search on baseball, you find 3 million hits in a couple milliseconds, but now you have 3 million things to go through. What we really focus on is allow people to put the content in there and then aggregate it and sort it by what makes sense. So in this case, we've got the SharePoint Community of Practice where we've organized the blogs, the forums, the wikis, the bookmarks, and all in one place. So you come, join the Community of Practice, and you have access to that information when you need it. Yes, sir. Right now, we haven't integrated that yet. That's the next phase to be able to come through. I'll show you what we're doing when we get to 2013. Right now, we're linking and showing stuff back, but we haven't integrated Yammer into our fast search. Yes, sir. It was organic. We try to have at least two people on the main, like to stand up the SharePoint user group, you have to have at least two people on it to moderate it, to garden it, to do the different things. On Yammer, the great thing is I know the senior leaders are participating because they might not necessarily Yam, but they'll call up, "Walton, did you see that they just asked this question on there?" I'm like, "Yes, I have the same access you do. You can respond. It won't bite." And so it's funny on coming through. And when we went public, it was awesome. Our head of investor relations, as he posted stuff on the public website, he posted it on Yammer and asked people to ask questions. He's like, "Look, it's now official. Here's what's out there. If you have questions." At my level, we had briefings with the CFO and others, but the rest of our rank and file don't have access to information. It was awesome that the penny pincher was putting stuff out there to pull through, but it tickles me when I get a call from one of the seniors, like, "Hey, did you know they're talking about Vision 2020 on here?" I'm like, "Well, that's the only thing you guys have been talking about for the last 4 months. I would be worried if they weren't talking about that on here, because then they're not reading any of your stale emails at all. At least you should be happy to know that they're reading a couple of them." Next question. Yes, sir.
I saw in an earlier slide that there's a discussion about iShare versus Hello.
Yep.
And then you mentioned Yammer, and I think knowledge base. Can you kind of give us a little bit of insight into the various systems that you have, all your employees on, how you differentiate between them?
Yeah, you have way too good eyesight. I was lazy and used an old screenshot. That right now, we have Hello, which is SharePoint 07, with lots of custom code on top of it. We have Yammer as a free version that's running side by side beside that. Our plan is to not go to 2010 and to go directly to 2013. We're working with both the Yammer team and the SharePoint team on how best to do that. The main hiccup I have is with our corporate security. Is it going to be Office 365? Is it going to be in the cloud dedicated? Is it going to be on-prem? Well, I feel pretty confident it's not going to be on-prem. We're still working on, because we do so much work for the government, where exactly it resides. But the goal is for us by April to have at least the beginnings of the one platform. In lots of organizations, they have to go to 15 different places to find what they need. I would strongly suggest, even if you have 15 different places, skin it, make it look the same, and make it user-friendly and intuitive for those users, and that's what will drive your adoption. But we have to update the picture because he's got too good of eyesight. Yes, ma'am. Well, we started with, since you're in the SharePoint community?
Sure.
So
the SharePoint community that he was showing before is the communities that we started with when we started building out the Hello platform. And what we do there is, partially because of the security concerns, a lot of more client-related conversations happen internally on those forums. We have a corresponding Yammer group as well for SharePoint, and that also is where we have more of the technical discussions around approaches, architecture, usage in general, and a lot more of what I would call the casual type of conversations.
So we have a SharePoint overall group and a SharePoint community practice leads group. Not that we're locking people out, but it's more of the planning, the functionality for the pilots, for the training sessions. Back in McLean, we had a large SharePoint training day for folks on Monday because it was a federal holiday to be able to pull through. So we're looking to move forward on that. Yes, sir, in the back. We want to make it as seamless as possible for our folks. We've got half of the firm on there, and we haven't rolled it out. So that's folks that are just using it because they find it useful. So our goal is to integrate the two and to hunt and peck and pick how we roll it out. Is it going to be pretty on day one? Well, probably not as pretty as we'd like it to be, but the goal is to be able to have the best of both as we move forward. And the nice thing about Yammer being cloud-based is they can push updates every week, where we're doing updates every 3 years, where we like it or not. That flexibility, I think, will give us the ability to continue to improve as we move forward.
You don't see a split population of people only using SharePoint
apps?
I'm curious.
Yeah.
Are you
going to
win at the end of 2 years?
Could be. I think, listen to some of the sessions. What we're doing is trying to, here's a picture of our SharePoint 2013 environment. It's on Azure, and we've got Yammer embedded in it. The goal is to allow and embed and integrate those Yammer feeds into those pages. There's lots of times where you just want to collaborate on a document, and being able to be on a team site is fine. But what we found is with 71% of our folks on the road, they want quick, easy answers, and I think that's where Yammer is going to give us that functionality. I'll get back to you and let you know how it goes, but our goal is to integrate them just like we did with all the custom code we built to make it as seamless as possible for our users. Next question. Yes, sir.
Do you think that now that you're moving to a platform where you're doing a lot less customization, that you're going to be less aggressive in terms of delivering innovative functionality because you know that new functionality is coming in later release?
Yeah. The question, in case you hear, are you, because you're going to a more standard package, are you going to see innovation drop? Basically, I think that's the huge question that folks have. Like I said, I've got 200 or so folks who work for me who do nothing but SharePoint development, and not a single customer has an out-of-the-box SharePoint environment. And I mean, does anybody here have a out-of-the-box SharePoint environment? You've customized something as you pull it through. So the question is, can you configure it to do what you want it to do as opposed to customizing it? That's going to be the decision. Do I think most of my government clients are going to go to 2013 on April 1st or April 15th or whenever? No way. They're still on 7. And I just met with a client that I won't name. They were happy that they just moved from 3 to 7. And I'm like, have you looked at the calendar lately? Yeehaw! Woo! To pull through. So I think it's going to be a ways to go. I do think that if Microsoft can convince you to go to Office 365, they're going to be happy because now you're locked in. I know from our firm's perspective, it cost us several $1 million for each migration. The tools have gotten better. The ability to migrate has gotten better. But I don't want to spend $5 million on going to the next flavor of ice cream. I want to have something that I know that I can live on. Right now, we've done the analysis. I mean, Microsoft has a monopoly on the operating system, Office productivity, Exchange, email, and the collaboration. So that's the platform. And selfishly, 94% of my clients have it. So we're going to continue to push the envelope because the majority of my business is walking in, showing them a live demo of what we're doing and hitting refresh and seeing that 15 people have added comments since we've been talking. To me, that sets us apart. Yes, ma'am.
How many people are supporting the community of practice on your team? So not just the technical folks,
but more sort of community managers, or what's your support level? Sure. The question was support staff. There's no official support staff. You just volunteer to do it because that's what you want to do. Within the SharePoint community practice, I think there's 7 folks that are quote-unquote the leads. I'm one of them. I basically buy the pizza and do some of the other stuff. The rest of them are doing the training sessions, organizing with folks to be able to pull through. So they're the ones that are there. Yes, sir. So the question was retention. The answer to that is yes, we're retaining everything. Unfortunately, we haven't built a good archiving strategy. What we've done is when we migrate to the next version, we've said, okay, we've got 6 terabytes now. If we have 6 terabytes when we get there, you're fired. Figure out how to get some of the content out. We're looking and working to have a better policy. The clients, I mean, it's a cobbler's son has no shoes. The clients we're working with, we help them put in governance, we help them put in the retention stuff, but being completely honest, right now, if it's up there, it's there, and we're working to come up with a better strategy to pull stuff through. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Next question. Yes, sir. Sure. We think everything's social. And what we're showing is the communities of practice because there's nothing on there that's going to be too embarrassing. There's not fly swatting and stuff on there. But what's awesome is HR's using it. Learning and development's using it. We're standing up a new mobile capability. They stand up a community practice. They get their Yammer group. They get everything up and running without us even asking. They're just saying, this is part of what we do. Next question. Okay. Here's a screenshot of the blog that we have up in 2013, and then the training courses we have, and then some of the roles and responsibility. The last thing I wanted to show you is I've got my tablet over here. We're building an app that integrates Foursquare, Yammer, AD, and AgileQuest for our hoteling, the ability to come in. An update. Right now, we have big fancy screens, and each floor you come in and put in your employee number, and it tells you where to sit. You have no idea who's around you or where things are. So what we're doing is having, unfortunately, they put my picture on there, the ability to come in and do a post. You can get your feed, things of that nature. You can click check in, and using Foursquare for the location to see what's there, aggregate the people who are there. So I can say, I really don't want to check in on the 3rd floor. I want the 4th floor. Or I can see that 4 people are already at Clyde's, which is it's a restaurant that's basically in our parking lot, so it's our cafeteria, to be able to pull through. And then my activity feeds, things of that nature, and my colleagues on the Windows. I've got it on my Samsung 7 slate over here if anybody wants to see it, to pull through. So just looking at ways to push things out on multiple devices to be able to get the information that they need. Here's our contact info if you move forward. What other questions? Yes, ma'am. The question was hands-on training for end users. When we first rolled it out, we did schedule training sessions. Now we have videos that are recording to ask questions. And then we do have a knowledge management team that will reach if you have a question or want better best practices on doing things. We do have a handful of folks that can help with that. Exactly. And we're running out. Next question. Yes, sir. Yes. Oh, so right now, we've got lots of folks that are on 2010, so we've been, the question was moving directly from 7 to 13, and David, you can make sure I don't say anything wrong. The plan, right now, we have 2013 running in Office 365 on Azure and on-prem. So we're testing it, we're moving content over, we're seeing how things are working. We're working with some of the migration vendors to be able to move stuff through. Right now, I've got to answer the question, where is it going to live first? And then we'll finalize our migration strategy. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Sure. The question was around the cost benefit analysis. As you mentioned before, you always to me, what's your ROI on voicemail and having your technology systems. We tried to push out Yammer and move earlier a couple years ago, and the ROI wasn't there because we just invested on what we had. Now we're at 7, it's getting to be end of life. We have to move to a different platform. So we're taking we took a step back, did an analysis on what our options were, and selected that this is the best way to go. And when you look at it, if I can improve employee retention by 2 or 3%, I pay for it, and it's with that savings alone, let alone the ability to be more responsive, quicker, to meet our customers' demands, things of that nature. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Yes. Sure. The question was middle management. How do you make them? Most middle managers, you can't make do anything. They've been successful. They know that their boss knows that they're critical, so you're not going to threaten them with their job or anything. It's all about showing the value. The best advocates I have are folks that their client asks them something, or in one case, I've got a proposal that's due tomorrow, and they question and answers come back, and they said, must have expertise in this. They don't even know what that acronym stands for. They go search for it, and they find five people who pop in, they call me back and say, Walton, we won this work because I was able to find I was able to answer this question. So that person who would never log on, but in a moment of desperate moment, they logged on and got the answer they want. Now they're walking around, David, did you know that you could do this? And so word of mouth is your best way to pull stuff through. One other question in here? Yes, sir. Yeah, and right now we're using FAST to pull in the different pieces to pull through. We have the, and it shows you, can we switch to 3? See how quickly we can get to it. If you search my name, there's Harvard Business Review did a business case on us being able to find the right people to do work. So I'm clicking on advanced search here. And you can pull through by level, by location, by skill set, by certifications. So if I come in here and say I need someone who's available 80 hours plus, they can speak Spanish, and they're available now, or maybe I put SharePoint or something in there. And come in here and search, it's going to bring back all the people who in PeopleSoft have Spanish. So there's 8 users that have over 80 hours of availability right now who have SharePoint certifications and can speak Spanish. So I can come in here, export the list, email the group, or I can map it and see where they are in the country to see I have to be able to pull through and staff that project. So you can see they're all in the DC area, so it gets down really close. Like, who's in Rockville? I've got one person in Rockville who speaks Spanish who's got availability to pull through. So for us, it's whatever the best information is, pull it into our data warehouse and then let Fast search it to be able to pull the folks back. Yes, sir. The question was sensitive information around customers there. We've had to, especially when we were on the free version, say, look, let's not talk about client-specific data here because we don't own it. Now that we're a paying customer, we feel that we have more security around being able to pull through. Whenever people log on to LinkedIn or any kind of the websites, we have a social disclaimer that pops up, and they have to agree to the corporate policies we have. It's no different than being on Facebook or being on LinkedIn or other things. We have corporate policies. We expect you to follow them. The difference is now I can search and find them and be able to pull through.
So you're not concerned?
Yeah.
So you're not going to segregate conversations with
It depends on the sensitivity of the stuff. While I said I want everything to be as open as possible, well, if I'm talking about David's assessment and how bad he's doing, I don't want that everyone to find that open, and I'm not going to pull that out there. So there are needs to have restricted conversations because you want to keep it secure. But if I'm talking about best practices of rolling out X system, I want that to be available to all my 26,000 employees. Any other last questions before we go off to lunch? Anybody over here? I really appreciate your